Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Some areas of our country are doing very well. Others are doing less well. It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better.
有說他們說是記者, 但實際上是不是這麼簡單呢? 我們也都需要...
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
We can no longer, from today onwards, be proud. We can no longer sit back and remain silent on the senseless, unlawful killings, sly racism of another human being based only on what? Their skin colour.
We are worried that the Chinese Communist Party make use of the evil law to further suppress Hong Kong people.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?
Hi everyone, and welcome to Where We Are with Nina Zoe Porter, your breakdown of all the key events in the world from the past 7 days, all in one bite-sized podcast. For today's episode, here's what happened in the world this week.
The eyes to the right, 521. Yay. The nose to the left, 73.
Yay. The eyes to the right, 521. The nose to the left, 73. The eyes have it, the eyes have it, unlock.
On New Year's Day, a new era began for the United Kingdom after it completed its formal separation from the European Union. As of January the 1st, the UK stopped following EU rules as the new arrangements for travel, trade, immigration and security cooperation came into force. Boris Johnson has said the UK had freedom in our hands and the ability to do things differently and better now the long Brexit process was over.
Thank you very much, everybody. I want everybody to understand that the treaty that I've just signed is not the end. It is a new beginning, and I think the beginning of what will be a wonderful relationship between the UK and our friends and partners in the European Union. I'd like you to welcome with us today in number 10.
However, opponents of leaving the EU have said the country will be worse off. For example, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, whose ambition it is to take an independent Scotland, said that she will oppose Brexit by every turn.
We will stick by the people of Scotland who have opposed Brexit at every turn. We will not play the Westminster game. We refuse to be complicit in a Boris Johnson-imposed democratic, social and economic calamity for Scotland.
UK ministers have warned there will be some disruption in the coming days and weeks as new rules come in and British firms start to come to terms with the changes. Officials have insisted new border systems are ready to go. Under the new arrangements, UK manufacturers will have tariff-free access to the EU's internal market, meaning there will be no more import taxes on goods crossing between Britain and the continent. But it does mean more paperwork for businesses and people travelling to EU countries, while there is still uncertainty about what will happen to banking and services. Also this week, the UK and Spain have also reached an agreement, meaning the border between Gibraltar and Spain will remain open. Fabian Picardo, Gibraltar's chief minister, said the deal still needed to be formalised, but by abolishing controls between Gibraltar and the EU's passport-free Schengen area would prevent queues at the border. And next.
Are there any senators in the chamber wishing to vote or change their votes? Seeing none, on this vote, the yeas are 81, the nays are 13. Two-thirds of the senators voting, a quorum being present, having voted in the affirmative, the bill on reconsideration is passed, the objections of the President of the United States to the contrary notwithstanding.
The US Congress has overturned outgoing President Donald Trump's veto of a defense spending bill, the National Defense Authorization Act. On New Year's Day, the Republican-controlled Senate held a rare meeting to debate the move, which had already been voted for by the House of Representatives. The result of the meeting concluded that the $740 billion bill will fund defense policy for the year to come. Trump, who leaves office in a few weeks, objected to certain provisions in the bill. For example, Trump had taken issue with policies that limit troop withdrawals from Afghanistan and Europe and remove Confederate leaders' names from military bases. He also wanted the bill to repeal a liability shield for social media companies. However, the Senate voted 81-13 in support of the National Defense Authorization Act, where a two-thirds majority is required to overturn a presidential veto in both chambers. Before the debate began, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said he was determined to pass the bill. This legislation has been passed 59 years in a row, and he was adamant that he would complete the 60th Annual National Defense Authorization Act and for it to be passed into law.
So, Madam President, for the brave men and women of the United States Air Armed Forces, failure is simply not an option. So when it's our turn in Congress to have their backs, failure is not an option either.
After the decision, Trump later responded to the vote on Twitter, arguing, "Our Republican Senate just missed the opportunity to get rid of Section 230, which gives unlimited power to big tech companies. The bills passed by Congress need a president's signature to become law. On rare occasions, a president may choose to veto or reject legislation because of some policy disagreement. However, lawmakers can override a presidential veto and enact bills into law by mustering two-thirds of votes in both chambers of Congress. This comes just 2 days before a new US Congress is due to be sworn in. And finally,
Happy New Year, Australia, for we are one and free. Our anthem is about us, who we are, and who we hope to be as well. We are a strong and vibrant liberal democracy. We live in a timeless land of ancient First Nations peoples, and we draw together the stories of more than 300 national ancestries and language groups.
This week, the Australian National Anthem has been changed to reflect the nation's spirit of unity and its Indigenous population, the country's Prime Minister has said. The one-word change to Advance Australia Fair from "For we are young and free" to "For we are one and free" took effect on Friday. Speaking on New Year's Eve, Prime Minister Scott Morrison called Australia the most successful multicultural nation on earth, adding that it is time to ensure this great unity is reflected more fully in our national anthem. He further added the importance to reflect and respect the stories of many First Nations peoples whose stewardship must be rightly acknowledged.
It simply reflects the realities of how we understand our country and who we will always hope to be and the values that we will always live by.
The move has been welcomed by the first Indigenous Australian elected to the federal parliament's lower house. Ken Watt, Minister for Indigenous Australians, said in a statement that he had been asked about the change and supported it. The anthem change has been widely praised and has sparked conversation on how Australia can progress towards a more inclusive society.
The fact that we can change one word so quickly and so efficiently, is it possible now that the Prime Minister can have a New Year's resolution to see a voice to Parliament where First Nations people are actually a part of all of these discussions and debates?
So, you're all caught up. That's where we are in the world this week. Be sure to listen next week to stay up to date on the latest news around the world. Search Where We Are with Nina Porter on all podcast platforms and subscribe today to get new episodes first.